for argument, United States versus Khattab. Mr. Schlafer.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is John Schlafer, and I represent the appellant, Mohammed Khattab. As stated in our letter to the Court, Khattab does waive the first argument in the brief. However, the evidence is still insufficient. This is most clearly shown by examining what the government intended to use to show that Khattab had knowledge that the pseudoephedrine he attempted to purchase would be used to manufacture methamphetamines.
What alternative hypothesis could there be, given the quantity? I don't understand. Was he going to go into the competition with Sudafed or something?
Your Honor,
what's the defense theory?
The defense theory was that Khattab would distribute the pseudoephedrine in single-use caplets to gas stations.
Pardon?
The theory was that he would distribute the pseudoephedrine in single-serving packages to gas stations and truck stops.
So he was going to go into the antihistamine business.
He was the distributor, Your Honor. But I think more importantly is that the government bears the burden of showing what Mr. Khattab would do with that pseudoephedrine, and Mr. Khattab does not bear the burden of showing what he would do with it. The evidence the government intended to use to show that Mr. Khattab was going to manufacture methamphetamines was a previous conviction in the state of California for a similar offense. However, after the close of evidence and in his findings of fact, the district court found that the government improperly entered the documentation for this prior conviction, and so the court could not use it to consider Mr. Khattab's knowledge. And this answers a previously unanswered question, which is, why didn't the government charge Khattab using a statute that would have been an open and shut case? They could have charged him with a felony with a 5-year maximum. The case would have been almost no questions. That leaves one question remaining. Without the prior conviction, what evidence is left? There's over 140 pages of covertly recorded conversations that do not include a single reference to methamphetamines. We agree that with the government that this court does not need to address the reason to believe standard, because the district court found that Khattab knew that the pseudoephedrine would be used to manufacture methamphetamines. That leaves the question as to what the court did base its finding on. Very slim evidence. Evidence that was not legally sufficient. Primarily, they based it on the statement that a substance is extracted from the pseudoephedrine and that substance is a narcotic. However, within lines of this statement, the transcript states that the narcotic substance is mixed with baking soda. 3 DEA agents and 2 DEA employees with knowledge of methamphetamine never testified that baking soda is used in the production of methamphetamines. There's the statement that they sniff it. However, this statement is made in direct relation to references to heroin and cocaine, but no reference to methamphetamines at all. The government asserts other evidence in the transcript, primarily the April 22, 2005 recording, references to the number 8,640. This is a past packaging norm for pseudoephedrine. It only proves that Khattab has knowledge of the way that pseudoephedrine was purchased or packaged in the past. The government asserts that it's related to some sort of methamphetamine recipe. However, there's no evidence that Khattab knew anything about the manufacture of methamphetamine. No recipe was found on him, and no discussion of the actual manufacture of methamphetamine existed in any of the transcripts. There's the statement, there's evidence that Khattab was involved in other purchases of pseudoephedrine, purchases from other countries, and possibly purchases in the future. But this is simply evidence of additional purchases of pseudoephedrine. The government bore the burden of showing that Khattab knew or had reason to believe that the pseudoephedrine would be used to manufacture methamphetamines. And that evidence simply is not present in this case. Your Honors, I have no further questions. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Schlafer. Mr. Lee?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Lee. I'm appearing on behalf of the United States. The evidence in this case was more than sufficient than to support the court's finding that the defendant knew that the pseudoephedrine he had arranged to purchase at midnight, around midnight, behind a gas station, out of the back of a van,
counsel, if I could interrupt just a threshold legal question before we get to what the evidence does or doesn't establish. Do we need to choose sides in the circuit split on the nature of the mens rea requirement for this crime?
No, the court does not need to address that. First of all, the district court found that the defendant did have knowledge that the pseudoephedrine would be used to make methamphetamine. He did
so we
not
don't
find,
have to get to the reasonable cause to believe?
Right. And also he looked to the Truong case more to the idea that that the government needed to prove that the defendant was more was up to more than no good, but that he was going to, that the pseudoephedrine would be used to make methamphetamine. So that's that question, I think, is this court does not need to reach.
Okay.
As I was saying, the evidence was more than sufficient to support the district court's finding that the pseudoephedrine would be used to make methamphetamine. First of all, there were the defendant's statements and participation in discussion on April 22nd about the pseudoephedrine and how it was going to be used. There were references to how certain undisclosed persons would mix, would extract a substance from the pseudoephedrine and mix it with another substance. There's also discussion about that resulting substance being a narcotic. There was the defendant made the statement himself that they sniff it with regards to the resulting substance. There was also
about Mr. Schlafer's suggestion that he was just, you know, he was buying it for cold medicine or allergy antihistamine.
Right. There was no evidence about that in the case. The defendant asked some questions about some of the agents about their knowledge about whether there was some kind of black market regarding the sale of pseudoephedrine. The agents were not aware of any such black market, and the fact that the defendant was willing to pay a price for the pseudoephedrine of $3,000, which is double the price that the agents had purchased the pseudoephedrine from a wholesale dealer at, provides the sufficient grounds for the inference that there was no such black market, or that the defendant was not.
Mr. Schlafer suggests that Khattab was in the business of distributing Sudafed, or did I hear that correctly?
Or that he wanted to get in that business?
I believe there was some discussion about other purchases, but I don't believe there was evidence about.
Does he have a job? I mean, is he in the wholesale distribution of drugs or something? Or?
I don't recall what his profession is. Going back to the evidence that the court that supports the inference that the defendant had knowledge about the use of pseudoephedrine, there was also the clandestine nature of his actions on May 31st when he was arrested. He did surveillance and canceled the initial meeting that was planned between him and the undercover agent, and again arranged the transaction to occur late at night at a gas station.
How was the pseudoephedrine contained?
The pseudoephedrine that was purchased was contained in, I believe, the blister packs, and that was. And then there was also evidence about garbage bags that the defendant had purchased at Walmart earlier in the day, and the government argued that in closing that helped support an inference combined with the defense earlier statements about how the pseudoephedrine would go for a higher price if it was in a loose format as it is sold in Canada. That supports the inference that the defendant may have intended to open up the pseudoephedrine and sell them in the loose format that would gain the higher price. Again, consistent with the idea that he was going to sell the pseudoephedrine for the manufactured methamphetamine. There's also the evidence, as I discussed before, about the lack of black market, about the pseudoephedrine.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. So, Mr. Schlafer, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Yeah. Your Honor, there was evidence that Mr. Khattab was a distributor at trial. A tax certificate from the state of New York was entered at trial, and this was argued at closing. Second,
so the notion was that he may have been a wholesale distributor of Sudafed?
There's no contention on Mr. Khattab's part that he was a legitimate distributor of Sudafed. However, given the extensive...
A black market guy.
Correct,
that's
Your Honor.
Your argument.
Further, Khattab acknowledges that there is plenty of evidence in this case that he was up to no good. But evidence of up to no good is not sufficient to meet the mens rea standard of knowing that the pseudoephedrine would be used to manufacture methamphetamines. opposing counsel argued that the loose format of the pseudoephedrine, again, this is simply a past packaging norm for pseudoephedrine in this country. It in no way relates to the manufacture of methamphetamines. If Your Honors look carefully at the transcript, there's no mention of methamphetamines in here. The government attempted to rely on a piece of evidence which would have made this a fairly simple case, but it couldn't because the court found that it was unusable. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Slaver. And you were appointed, were you not, in Indiana Clinic? So we thank you and thank Professor Robel for your services to your client.